Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
And away we go. Hour three is here, and in about an hour, Pope Francis is going to be consecrating Russia, Ukraine, you and me, the whole world, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's a momentous day. I've been talking quite a bit about it in the last 2 hours, and we only have an hour left. If the consecration event starts earlier, then we are going to go to that. So please be aware, it's possible that we may be going to the live coverage in Rome before the end of this hour. But at least as far as it's scheduled, it will happen around the beginning of the next hour, or at the top of the hour in any case. So I'm going to be with you here until that moment. And Father Rocky and Drew Mariani will be on the air in studio to talk about what's going on. You don't want to miss it. And remember that Pope Francis is encouraging you to go to church if you can, spend some time, as much as you can, but even if it's just a few minutes, pop into a Catholic church today between between 11 Central and 1 Central, or that would be between noon and 2 Central, and pray for peace, pray for the conversion of Russia, and if it's possible to go to confession, to do that as well. Again, it's not under pain of sin, it's not an obligation, it's just a request. Let's see, 888-914-9149. Why don't we go to Nicole in Youngstown, Ohio? Good morning, Nicole.
Hi, Patrick. I wanted to talk a little bit about today. Mm-hmm. I'm 51. I was educated in Catholic schools all the way through college. So none of this is shocking to me, what's happening. I immediately knew this is Fatima because we were taught Fatima. And as a child, it was scary, but now as a 51-year-old, the nuns were right. And I guess what I want to say is a lot of people are picking apart what the Pope is doing, and he could do it perfectly and people would still pick it apart. That's where true. I want to turn my own attention is to what else Mary asked at Fatima. And she asked things of us as well. She asked for First Saturdays. She asked for the rosary. Every appearance she had at Fatima, she brought up the rosary. Have I been doing those things in my life? No. I was away from the church for many years. I was one of those people. I'm a revert. So I've been to confession. I've confessed those things. I have taken up those practices. So where do we go after today is where I would really like to turn my attention, because the Pope is going to say and do what the Pope is going to say and do, and it may or may not be to God's liking. That's for God. That's not for me to decide. And God will show in his time, not ours, what's going to come of today. What I can do and what I hope other people will do is what are the actions that I can take that were asked of us by the Blessed Mother at Fatima? You know, am I going to my parish priest and saying, why isn't the rosary being said before Mass in a group? Why aren't we doing that anymore? Why is there no adoration at my church? You know, am I doing those things? I have to take some responsibility now and after what happens this afternoon.
That's true.
And I really hope that people don't lose faith if they don't see something happen immediately. Because whether it's to God's liking or it's not, things may get very difficult before they get better. In fact, I'm kind of expecting it to be. You know, things like this are, Mary is the undoer of knots, but things take time to undo. So I don't want people to lose faith. I want us to turn to the things that she asked of us, because those are very powerful things.
I agree 100%. Would that more people had that view of what's going on here, because as you say, I mean, there's no guarantee that this will be a quick process. There's no guarantee it'll be a slow process, but we just don't know. Our Lady didn't reveal any of those things to us. So we're walking in faith. We're walking in trust here. But you know,
but
isn't
Patrick? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. There's a bit of a delay.
No, okay.
But that's part of our nature, of our culture. We want to second. Mm-hmm. We want to guess. We want to predict. We want to know. And that's part of the problem we have in our faith life. We can't know. We cannot know certain things, nor do I want to know certain things. Certain things are not for us to know.
I agree. And this is what is known as that cloud of unknowing, you know, where maybe in God's loving providence, it's better that we not know, so that we can not only be more faithful and trust in His providence, but also not shrink back from things that might scare us. If we knew what was coming, good, bad, or indifferent,
yes,
you know, it could change the way we would react. So I agree with you. I was just thinking about, as you were describing this, another apparition that I'm sure you're probably aware of. It's approved at the local level by the bishop of the diocese, known as Akita. And it began,
yes,
with the phenomenon of a statue in this convent that started exuding what appeared to be tears. And they studied it and studied it and studied it. Where did it come from? It's a wooden statue, and there was no scientific explanation for why this was happening. And then shortly after that, and if you're familiar with it, I'll just kind of give a recap for the benefit of those who may not be familiar with it, Nicole. But I think it ties into what you're saying. So when Our Lady appeared to Sister Agnes Sasagawa, and this, by the way, was on October 13th, 1973, so it was the anniversary of the apparition in which the sun performed this stupendous miracle in Fatima. And she gave a lengthy message. I'll read it. It's not that lengthy, but it's packed with a lot of information. So she said, "My dear daughter, listen well to what I have to say to you. As I told you, if men do not repent and better themselves," this is what you're referring to, "the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity. It will be a punishment greater than the deluge, the flood of Noah, such as one will never have seen before. Fire will fall from the sky and will wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priest nor faithful. The survivors will find themselves so desolate that they will envy the dead. Each day, recite the prayer of the rosary," again, to the point that you're making. "With the rosary, pray for the Pope, bishops, and the priests. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way that one will see cardinals opposing cardinals and bishops against other bishops. The priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed by their confreres. Churches and altars sacked. The church will be full of those who accept compromise, and the demon will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord. The demon will be especially implacable against souls consecrated to God. The thought of the loss of so many souls is the cause of my sadness. If sins increase in number and gravity, there will be no longer pardon for them. With courage, speak to your superior." And she talks about how you need to tell the bishop, etc. And a little further on, she says, "The signs that are going to be left to you will be the rosary and the sign of my son," which I presume to be either the cross or the Holy Eucharist. So all of these dire things that are foretold, and that I would say, although it's more descriptive, Nicole, there's more by way of detail, it's no less dire than the things that Our Lady said in Fatima when she talked about the annihilation of nations, etc. So I'm glad that you're raising this point, because we're not spectators in all this. You know, you're not like up in the grandstands, nor am I, just watching passively. "Hey, I wonder what's going to happen. Can I have some of your popcorn?" That's not it at all. We're in it. We have a role to play. And we're involved in this at every level. And that's what makes this so momentous, is that I do believe, and maybe you would share this view with me, we're standing on the cusp of what could be a massive conversion, not just of Russia, but of people in general. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
I do agree. And I'm very emotional today because, as I said, the nuns pounded Fatima and these messages into my head as a child. And for me to be alive today, yeah, I'm very emotional about it. And in closing, I'll wrap up. I just wanted to say that there's so much criticism that why has no pope since 1917 done it the right way? It's a simple request. I've heard simple requests over and over and over. Well, a simple request was made of us as well. So do it. Pick up your rosary. Pick up your rosary.
That's
right. Go to confession. Do a First Saturday. That's a simple request on us. So it goes
Indeed.
Both ways. And thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome, Nicole. Well, I'm sure you're going to be glued to the radio when the time comes. Here, we'll have it all live here on Relevant Radio in a little less than an hour.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Richard now in, where is Richard? Atlanta. Good morning, Richard, in Atlanta.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you today?
I am loving life, and I'm anxiously awaiting what God has in store for his people.
Absolutely. Patrick, I'm calling because I remember as a young man how back in the late 1930s and or early 1940s, how after the end of Sunday Masses, the celebrants would kneel at the foot of the altar and lead the congregation in praying for the conversion of Russia. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so happy to be around to see what's going to happen today. But my fear is that possibly if Mr. Putin is in a corner, things could start popping pretty soon. So we better start praying again. Yeah. And I certainly would like to see those prayers return to the foot of the altar at the end of Masses if enough people would get out there and mention it to our pastors. That's all I have to say.
Agree.
And thank you so much for being there and for what, everything you do. It's a joy listening to you every day, most every day.
You're very kind, Richard. What about the days when it's not a joy?
Well, I'm kind of busy. I'm recently widowed, and right now I'm happy. My wife is going to be right there. Well, she'll be able to see it in person what's going on from heaven above.
Indeed. Well, my condolences for your loss, Richard. May she rest in peace. And thank you for calling.
Oh, well,
and thank
you
for listening.
She passed peacefully, and I have a blessing because we were separated because of my service in the military many years ago. We wrote letters, and over 250 of those letters have survived. So I look with great anticipation every night to reading another one or two. And it's as though she's here. So it's amazing. Life has been very good to me and to her.
That is beautiful. That is truly beautiful. How long were you married?
66 years. And I don't think we ever had an argument. But she knew how to stare me. She would stare at me, and I know who would win that argument.
I can relate.
just a. Unbelievably beautiful person, and the children are going to make copies of those letters, and I'm going to share them with them.
That is beautiful. Well, what a gift you've been given, and
oh my
I'm
heaven,
sure your wife was a wonderful woman.
Oh, bingo, you nailed it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Richard. I hope
I'm so thankful to be here today, and I just hope that everything goes well.
I agree. Let's pray. Indeed. Well, please keep listening to Relevant Radio, Richard. We will be covering the consecration live from Rome right here, so you won't have to lift a finger. We're going to bring it right to you. Thank you so much, and may your lovely wife rest in peace. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to, where are we going to go? Let's go to Tom in Joliet, Illinois. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you? And I want
doing
to say
well,
thank
thanks.
You for all you do and your staff. And it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
And you help us, you know, get through day to day. I think the girl or the woman that called a couple ago, calls ago, and you may have already answered about the consecration. You had mentioned Russia is trying. Looks like they were trying to do better, you know, from the consecration of 84. And I'm kind of wondering if this consecration, and like you said, might be for everybody, especially the United States and other countries where there's a destruction of morality. And it just seems we're all, you know, part of this. I think it's for everyone. That's how I was kind of seeing it. And you know, it's like everybody needs to be fine-tuned a little bit. And the one last thing is, it does say in the Bible many a times, be not afraid. And if it's put in the Bible that many times, there's a reason that we need to believe that. And it's God's, it's going to be his will one way or another. and
that's
it'll
so
all
true.
Work out. So,
yeah, that is
Patrick,
so
thank you for letting me talk to you, and you have a great day. Thank you.
You too. I pray that it will be a good day for you. Thank you. It's going to be a momentous day for everybody. If you're just tuning in and you're wondering what's all the hubbub about, well, Pope Francis is going to consecrate Russia by name. Yes, along with Ukraine and the rest of the world, but he's mentioning Russia by name in his consecration prayer in about 40 minutes from now, roughly. We'll see when it starts exactly. It'll be in Rome. We're going to cover it for you here on Relevant Radio. Pope Francis is encouraging you to get to confession if you can, but also to spend some time in church today if it's at all possible, maybe between 11 Central and 1 Central or noon Eastern and 2 Eastern, wherever your time zone is. Just if you can even just go in for a few moments and pray for peace, pray for Russia. And if you're able to get to confession, so much the better. It's not an obligation. It's just an encouragement. And because of what we're up against with Russia poised to, I don't know. I don't know what Russia's going to do right now. It's bogged down, maybe 40,000, they're saying now, Russian troops and pilots have been killed or wounded, most of them killed. They're tanks are torched. Their whole war machine has just completely crumbled. And that's not good. If you're Vladimir Putin and you want to get things done, what do you do next? You go to Plan B, which is battlefield tactical nukes, neutron bombs. And Russia's been saying in the last few days, I'm just telling you this so you know, I mean, I don't want you to live unawares, but Russia has been publicly saying through its media outlets, you know, we may have to use some nukes now. And if we use the battlefield nukes, it's very quickly going to escalate to, you know, the intercontinental ballistic missile type of nuke and submarine kind of nuke. And then we're in World War III. So please understand, this isn't just like, you know, this is not just drama. This is real. And it comes at this time that Pope Francis, after being entreated by countless people around the world, would you please make this consecration? He said, yeah, so he's going to do it today. And you're participating in it. You're not a bystander. Let's go now to go to Sheila. I think I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Is it Sheila? Is that right in Reno?
No, it's Shella.
Shella, my mistake. Welcome, Shella.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yes.
Okay, good morning. It's not a question. It is a half of a question. I need to forgive my little brother.
What happened?
July 20th of 2020, he passed away. I am not sorry that he passed away. For some reason, I haven't. And I need to forgive him. Today's his 55th birthday. And I need to forgive him because God says to forgive and forget. I need to forgive him, and I can't. You have any suggestions for me to forgive him?
Sure, I'll try. First thing to know, Shella, is that you're right. The Lord did say to forgive, but he didn't say forget. You know, we try to forget, and sometimes it's not easy or maybe it's not even possible. But forgiveness, remember, is an act of the will. It's not an emotion. And so you may not feel in a forgiving mood. You may still be angry or hurt or all of the above. But if in your will you say to the Lord, Lord, you know what happened. You know what he did. You know how it made me feel and what it did to me. But Lord, have mercy on him and I forgive him. Just say those words. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I forgive him. I forgive him. It's
Lord,
hard.
I forgive him.
I don't. Yes, yes. And say that. Maybe it might take many times that you say it to yourself. But that's what forgiveness is your will saying, I want to forgive him, even if you don't feel the emotion, you know. And you don't feel the emotion,
yeah.
Do you?
No, I don't. It's a long story. It's something, yeah. I have to deal with. And I want to forgive him. God, let me forgive him, but it's not there.
I understand.
And Patrick, I have to apologize to you for over a year ago. I called you and I hung up the phone because I wasn't ready to deal with it. And I think I sent you a message on Twitter, which I shouldn't have done. But I think I sent you a message and told you that I'm sorry, but I wasn't ready to deal with it. And now I'm ready to deal with it in 2022.
God bless you.
And I'm going to keep asking God. I'm going to keep asking God for me to forgive him because he is my family. But yeah. It's really hard. It took me 5 years to forgive my dad. Can I ask a big favor?
You may. Absolutely.
Okay. If you have, I know you have a big heart, a really big heart. I feel it in my heart. When you have your prayers, pray for me to forgive my brother.
I promise you I will. I'm praying for you right
okay,
now.
Okay, and I will pray for you too.
Thank you. Maybe, do you have a crucifix in your home somewhere, Shella?
Yes, I do.
Okay, here's something to think about. Maybe when the time is right, you go into that room, close the door, and kneel down in front of the crucifix and see how Jesus forgave you. And kneeling at the foot of the cross, just ask Jesus to help you forgive your brother the way Jesus has forgiven you. And just tell him, I forgive my brother. He'll help you.
He will.
He will help you.
Thank you so much.
All right, Shella.
And I'm looking forward to what they're doing, what the Pope's doing this morning, too. So.
Yes, it's an amazing thing. And we'll all be joined together in prayer all around the world. Well, Shella, thank you. Excuse me. I'm going to take a quick time out, and I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
You need an example of why it's important that Pope Francis not only, I mean, obviously, consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because we don't want nuclear war, but he's also consecrating Ukraine. He's also consecrating the whole world, and our little part of the world right here in the United States could really use some of that consecration. Mackenzie Scott, she's the ex-wife of the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos. It was announced yesterday that she has donated $275 million to Planned Parenthood for the purpose of helping black women get abortions. Now, this is racism on stilts, as I put it on Twitter when I saw this yesterday. She has a net worth of over $55 billion, and she got that through her divorce from Bezos in 2019. She has given away billions to various nonprofit organizations. In a statement from Planned Parenthood Federation of America, they thanked her for her donation, which benefits the abortion giant's national offices and 21 of its affiliates. They said in their statement, "We are incredibly grateful for Ms. Scott's extraordinary philanthropic investment in Planned Parenthood. As a critical part of public health infrastructure, there is no question that we are living through a crisis for sexual and reproductive health and rights in this country. And we face the most serious attacks on access to reproductive health care that we have seen in a generation. We know this moment requires us to be innovative and to double down our efforts to ensure everyone has equitable access to health care, including abortion." By the way, abortion is not health care. It's death care because it kills somebody. And no one has a right to take the life of an innocent person. So there are no such rights. that involve ending the life of an innocent person. Legally, on paper, sure. But in reality, no, nobody has that right. Johnson specified, Johnson being the person who wrote the letter, specified that the funding will help to eliminate racial and structural barriers specifically for black women who would be the most hurt, quote unquote, by legislation heightening restrictions on abortion. In a Medium post explaining her donation to Planned Parenthood and dozens of other organizations, Mackenzie Scott emphasized the cause of equity was a motivation for her giving. She says it's easy to think of different groups struggling with the same systems as not only separate but also opposing. Yet when we help one group, we often help them all. The dividends of change in attitude each time disparate groups help each other are harder to trace, but the trend line is clear. Communities with a habit of removing obstacles for different subsets of people tend to get better for everyone. That's all gobbledygook, happy talk. Here's the reality. Now, by the way, I want to give credit. This is an article from the Daily Wire. We'll post it for you. Planned Parenthood completed 354,871 abortions in 2020, according to its annual report for 2020. The figure amounts to 972 abortions per day, 41 abortions per hour across the United States. And that's just Planned Parenthood. And that's based on their own statistics. Though America's 862,000 annual abortions represent the leading cause of death in the United States, Planned Parenthood's abortions alone would represent the third leading cause of death, followed by COVID-19, accidental deaths, respiratory disease, stroke, and Alzheimer's disease as of 2020. Planned Parenthood also reported that taxpayer dollars, your dollars, accounted for $618.1 million of Planned Parenthood's $1.641 billion in revenues. That's annual, by the way. $618.1 million of your tax money went to Planned Parenthood. So that happened. Now, maybe that's a great reminder of just how far we have fallen. And may God have mercy on Mackenzie Scott. May God have mercy on all of them, on all of us. But if you needed a reminder about why we need to pray and ask God not to punish us, there's yet another reminder. Came out this morning. 888-914-9149. Let's go to, where are we going to go? Let's go to Mary in Pownall, Maine. Pownall? How do you say the name of the town?
Hi, Patrick. It's Pownall.
Pownall, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. I was calling because I have a very good friend of mine who's Protestant, and I've been talking to her about the consecration happening today. And she had a question about it. She doesn't understand why we have to do everything in a particular order and why we have to have all the bishops participate. If God hears our prayer and knows the intentions behind our prayer, why do we have to do it in a certain fashion? And I wasn't sure how to really answer her, and I figured I'd call in and ask.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, the first thing I can say is that because this is what Our Lady requested, so that right there, it seems to me to be sufficient. But I mean, there's strength in numbers. When we pray together, it's a good thing. This is why the earliest Catholics, the earliest Christians that you read about in the book of Acts, they gathered together on the Lord's Day. And you might, you know, your friend might, to use his logic, say, well, why do they have to gather together? What's so important about that? Why couldn't they just stay home and sit on the couch and pray and know that all the other Christians were praying? Well, there's, you know, we're creatures of flesh and blood. And it's important for us to gather together in the same room for certain specific events. So, I mean, wouldn't it be weird if every Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving, everybody just stayed at home and celebrated by himself or maybe Zoomed with everybody else? Of course, we were doing that during the height of COVID. But I mean, that would be weird. That's not human. That's not the way we are. We are communal. And so part of the answer, it seems to me, Mary, is that this is for our benefit to recognize the power of strength in numbers, the power of prayer, and our unity in the body of Christ. So I might try to explain it to him along those lines. I don't know if, you know, if he would accept it or not. Maybe his resistance to this is simply because it's something the Catholic Church is doing. And as a Protestant, yeah, Perhaps he is just you know, conditioned in a Pavlovian sense. If it's the Catholic Church mm-hmm. doing it, then I think it's bad. I think it's wrong. It could be something as simple as that.
Yeah, I think that does definitely helps with the answer. I know that she's mentioned that she, you know, according to her, it seems just like a old tradition from the Old Testament. Whereas right now, like, why would we need to all do something in a particular order where you could just go straight to God yourself? And I understand the strength mm-hmm. in numbers aspect. So that could help with my, not really argument back to her, but my answer back to her. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's her. I'm sorry. I just assumed it was him. No, that's good. Well, here's the thing to remember is that we don't go to Mary instead of God. We do go straight to God for everything. God is the source of all good things. He's the source of all blessings. But you'll notice, biblically at least, God's tendency is more often than not to grant blessings and convey blessings through other people, through angels, through his saints. So it's rare when God directly intervenes and grants a blessing. I mean, what I mean by that is sort of in a direct way, sort of revealing himself to somebody. It's almost always done through these intermediaries. So that's one part of it. The other thing to remember too is that this is, you know, we're a family and families gather together. And it seems strange to me that he would object to the idea of Christians. Now, we're not gathering in the same room. And the bishops around the world are not gathering in the same room. They're going to be wherever they happen to be. But it's a sort of virtual gathering. And so maybe you can just ask him, well, I mean, this is a human thing. Why would you oppose that? Why would you, you know, why would you not want people to be more together? So anyway, Mary, thank you. And it's good that you're evangelizing him. 888-914-9149. How about Joe now in Santa Fe, New Mexico? Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call. And sure. First of all, if I might, I'd like to give a shout out to Relevant Radio and everybody there, Father Rocky, you, and just everybody.
Thank you.
I discovered Relevant Radio about 2 years ago. I was just kind of coming back to my Catholic faith after going to a Protestant church for mm-hmm. a little while. But, you know, they really mess with, I don't know, I guess in my opinion, mess with your head a little bit, or changing views. But anyway, shout out to Relevant Radio. Thank you, guys. And my question, Patrick, is I've been a little, I don't know, just bothered a tiny bit. I was wondering why Israel has not, it seems like they have not stepped up to back the Ukraine.
Well, that's a foreign policy issue that I don't have any information on. I mean, I couldn't say internally why is Israel not doing that. And I don't even know that Israel is not doing something. They may be doing any number of things, but they may be doing it behind the scenes. That's one thing. And the other thing, too, is just at a bigger level, I suspect that whatever they're not doing that you think they should be doing is probably for the same reason that the United States and Europe is not doing some of the things that people are clamoring for. Because as soon as you're directly involved in this war between Ukraine and Russia, you're at war with Russia. And so if Israel, for example, which needs all of its defense forces at home to protect itself, they don't need to project power. They don't need to be sending troops to Ukraine. They need everybody they've got because it's such a small country and they're hemmed in by enemies on many sides. So that may be one practical reason for it, is they're not in a position to project power that way. But even if that were not the case, if Israel were to send a contingent of soldiers or if they were to send aircraft or anything over there and under the Israeli flag were getting into it with Russia, then Israel is at war with Russia. And that's, I think, why we're avoiding it, at least as long as we can, because as soon as that starts, that's when the very likely possibility of nukes going off begins. And nobody sure. wants that. Okay. So I suspect it has something to do with that as well.
Yeah, we definitely don't want that for Israel, you know.
Or any of us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for any of us. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's just been kind of on my mind. It sort of bothered me a little bit, and I really haven't asked anybody. I did kind of mention it to my sister the other day, and she sort of said, oh, yeah, I kind of thought the same thing. But, you know, it's because, you know, I pray for Israel constantly, you know, in the Bible, and to pray for Israel, and which I do. And then I was kind of like, well, how come they're not kind of, you know, stepping up? But I do see your point. Yeah, that we don't, you know, want to open up a can of worms, you know.
That's putting it lightly. That's right, Joe. It's a dicey situation. We don't want any false moves that could wind up, you know, where you and I and everybody else are floating around in the upper atmosphere as radioactive dust. I don't want that. So let's avoid that. The consecration of Russia in Ukraine is coming up. Pope Francis will be leading that in about 20 minutes, give or take. Drew Mariani and Father Rocky will be here in studio to talk about that. And you are urgently encouraged to stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. This is a momentous historic event, and you can participate directly on Relevant Radio. I'm coming right back with more right after this. We are back once again. This is the last segment of the program. Please keep in mind that Pope Francis is going to be leading the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary for Russia, Ukraine, the whole world, you, me, all of it. And that's going to begin, at least it's scheduled to begin right around the top of the hour. So don't change that dial and don't turn off your Relevant Radio app if that's how you're listening. Wherever in the world you are right now listening, we're going to keep you completely updated. And we're going to go to the live coverage at the Vatican soon. So please stay right there. This is a very big deal today for all the reasons that we've talked about. I want to get back to the phones here. Let's go to Helen in Philadelphia. Good morning, Helen.
Oh, good morning, Patrick. Thanks so much for this show. Things. First of all, at the end of the war in Europe, soldiers, U.S. soldiers, especially in southern Italy, found out about Padre Pio, and they ran to him at the end of that war, having just concluded their battle with the Nazis, and they were anxious. Would the U.S. ever experience war on her soil? Very anxious about that. And he said, because of the generosity of the American people, no, the U.S. would not have war on her soil. She would be chastised by the elements. Interesting. Okay, the second thing is he did make a comment about the conversion of Russia when he said that that Russia would teach the United States a lesson in conversion. Now, this was from a biography that was written by, I believe, a non-Catholic that I read back in the 90s. And if anybody's listening who is more up to date, more in the know on Padre Pio's things, I'd love to hear from them on, did this actually happen? It sounds like it did, because it sure is adding up that way. Looking at the reaction of the Russian people to the Patriarch Kirill and President Putin, and looking at the growing momentum of the pro-life movement here in the U.S. and the growing belief in God here in the U.S., mm-hmm. I'm going, this is shaping up really interesting.
That's a fact. There's no doubt about that, Helen. I'm not sure whether that's an apocryphal tale told about St. Padre Pio or if indeed he said that. It kind of sounds like the kind of thing he would say. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was authentic. But in any case, it doesn't take much to see how Russia has changed in certain ways. They still have abortion. They still have other problems over there. But they've come a long way, baby, from how they were before, during the time of Soviet communism, and we have gone in the opposite direction here in the West. So it may well be true that as part of God's prophetic unfolding of his providence, that there will be a lesson taught to the United States and other countries about what true conversion looks like. And perhaps it is God's will that, as bad as Russia has been and is right now, that if it has a powerful and life-changing conversion as a country, as a people, then maybe they will be a kind of light to the nations and other people will see the same thing. Now, I think that this conversion eventually will involve a conversion from Orthodoxy to back to the Catholic Church. In other words, there will be a reunion. I foresee that at some point down the road as the inevitable good fruit of the conversion, because you can't be truly converted and remain apart and intentionally distant from the Church. They're part of the Church, but they're living in absentia right now. They're living in exile, and they don't have to. So I see that, too, as an eventual repercussion of this conversion. Thanks for the call, Helen. I appreciate it very much. Now we're going to go to, let's see, let's go to Jim in Dubuque, Iowa. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, this is Jim. Are you there?
Yeah, hi, Jim. Yeah, welcome.
Okay. I'm sorry. I started out with one, then after listening to people, I got two. Now I got 3 points. First one, real.
All right. I'll only have time for one, so hit me with your best shot.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Prophecy about America wasn't from Padre Pio. It was from Teresa Neumann, who was a mystic and a stigmatist in Germany during World War II.
Okay.
Okay. And it was answered to a question by an American soldier. Second one. The errors by Russia, not from communism. Communism was the face of it. But the true errors was the close linkage between the Russian Orthodox Church and whatever government is in power in Russia. Orthodoxy in Russia was over 1,000 years old, and the Tsars and the Orthodox Church developed very close ties. The Tsars would suppress any heresies declared by the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Church would support the Tsarist policies.
Right. The key to remember to all this, Jim, is that Our Lady said Russia will spread her errors. She didn't specify what they were. She didn't specify that they would not be political or that they would be political. It's sort of an open-ended thing. So I would say, in light of the comment that you're making, and I do appreciate your calling with your comments, I would say that there's no question but that global communism, which emanated originally from the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, that certainly is included in the errors that she is referring to. And the way in which the Russian/Soviet propagation of communism just devastated and destroyed countless millions of people, not to mention their lives and things. So although I would be willing to agree with you, Jim, that it extends beyond that, I would say it certainly does include communism as a political ideology. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Sylvia now in Porterville, California. Good morning, Sylvia.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to ask you a question.
Sounds like you're on a speakerphone or Bluetooth, are you?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
Okay, that won't work.
I'm just struggling with my faith.
Sylvia, that won't work. I'm going to come back to you, but you have to take your phone off of speakerphone because it's hard to hear you. I'll come back to you. Caleb in Minneapolis, good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Father. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call.
That's okay. Sure. What would you like to talk about, Caleb?
Well, my mom's a Protestant. My dad is a Catholic. And I've been hearing a lot about the confirmation on Relevant Radio. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying
to pray. The consecration?
Or the
sacrament of confirmation?
Yeah. Okay. I've been trying to pray and fast as much as I can. Going to church won't really be the most possible thing to do since Dad's at work and Mom's somewhere else right now. Is there any other thing that I can do to help?
Man, I really like you, Caleb. You're a good kid. How old are you?
I'm 11.
That is so great. That is so great. You're a fine young man. All right, so Dad's at work, Mom's doing something else. Obviously, you don't drive, so you can't get to church. I understand completely. More importantly, God understands. So what can you do? Well, I mean, if you're already fasting and praying, you're doing probably more than many other adults are even doing. Keep doing that. I would say keep listening right now to Relevant Radio. In about another 4 minutes, this show is going to be over, and Father Rocky and Drew Mariani are going to take over, and they're going to cover the live coverage, I should say, from the Vatican of the consecration. You should be listening to that, okay?
I'm going to try, but Mom's going to be back in not too long, and that might be a little inevitable.
Well, give it, you know, ask Our Lady, say a little prayer to Our Lady, and ask her to help your mom see her way clear to let you listen. Okay? Ask for that little grace, that little favor. I would do that. So listen to the coverage of this, if at all possible. And, you know, tell your mom, hey, they're talking about God. They're talking about what's going on in Russia. And maybe she'll listen with you. If you haven't prayed the rosary today, I would say pray the rosary. Sometime today, pray the rosary in the spirit of unity with the Pope and everybody else who is going to be participating all around the world, people just like you, praying for peace in Russia, among all the other things. So that's my suggestion, Caleb, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I hope you'll call me again. I've enjoyed our conversation. Thank you. Let's go quickly back to Sylvia, if we can. Sylvia in Porterville, do you have your phone off Bluetooth?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me, sir?
Okay, great. Yes, now I can.
Okay. Yes, my question is that I've been struggling with my faith and God's will for his plan for me, and I've been going through a situation, my marriage, obviously. It's almost a year. But I don't know what to do. He wants out. He's verbally told me he wants a divorce. It's a sacramental marriage, but I'm hoping that God can change. But I know it's free will that my husband has, and it's only up to him, his relationship with God. But my relationship, I struggle so much because what do I do? And I'm trying to hold on to something or let God speak to me. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to trust in God in my situation, but it's very difficult. Yeah. I guess my question is to you is, how do I go about trusting God?
Well, it's interesting. These things can be very easy, very simple, but not very easy, because as you're experiencing your emotions, maybe, or a feeling of confusion, they're getting in the way, aren't they? In your effort to do this, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I would suggest is just, do you have a picture of the Divine Mercy image in your home anywhere?
Yes. I've been praying the Divine Mercy with Drew at, 1 o'clock my time over here.
Right. Well, get that image. Get that image. And my simple advice would be this. Just pray that simple prayer, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, obviously, you're asking him for the graces to heal your marriage. That may or may not happen. Obviously, God's will unfold, and you can't force your husband to do anything, but you can ask Jesus to soften his heart. And the two of you, for example, could go on a retrovi weekend. HelpOurMarriage.org is their website. Take up the rosary as your weapon and pray the rosary in defense of your marriage. Pray the rosary that your husband's mind will be changed and that his heart will be softened. These are all things you can do. But the trusting part of it, remember, that's not an emotion. You may not feel very trusting, or you may not feel as though you're turning things over to the Lord. That's something you do with your will. When you say, Lord, here and now, I'm trusting you and I'm seeking to trust you more, so please help me. And he will help you. Now, it doesn't mean that things will necessarily change in the way that you want them to. Maybe God has other plans in store for you. Don't know. But if you're seeking to do his will, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it's possible that this cup might pass from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done, Father. So Jesus was seeking to do the will of the Father. Yeah, and I understand. It can be a very difficult struggle.